Death to Passwords, huzzah, the suite formerly known as Office, and No Before, now spelled with a billion. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by Huntress's Hackett 22, a series of interactive sessions led by cybersecurity pros and industry favorites to help you better understand threat actors and the tradecraft they use. Running November 14th through 16th, with two chances to catch the content, plus a separate optional zero-day workshop. To register for Hackett 22, visit this Huntress site. Additionally, for a chance to win one of five free zero-day sessions, register at go.oit.co/Hackett22.
Good morning and welcome to the October 18th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
I am doing great and started off laughing. If you have not seen the bloopers at the end, please watch the bloopers.
I was just talking about how smooth these were going. I was like, we were doing so well.
So
and,
good.
And it's not like I'm reading from a teleprompter. It's like, come on. Well, if you love that, you're going to love this. You've seen SpaceX. You've seen satellite. I mean, you're in Florida. You've seen satellites being launched into space with rockets and super cool, right? Like rockets, red glare, and all that fun stuff. But I saw a video the other day. Simon, roll the video, man. They found a new way to do this where they're going to be yeeting. I don't know a better way to say this. Yeeting satellites into space. Instead of using rockets to do this, which, you know, takes money and takes resources and bad for the environment and all that fun stuff, they're using this circular, I mean, this thing is massive. It's basically the circular thing that keeps spinning and spinning and spinning and then catapults the satellites directly into space. Sometime in this video, we're going to get to it. Simon, can you get to that part? This is like the history of everything. There we go. That's the NASA Yeeter. That's not the official name. That's what I'm calling it. It is massive, and because it's NASA, because that's what they do, and it just spins and yeet, right into space. How cool is that, dude?
I like the yeet. is that where the name, the genesis of the name came? It's a
Listen, I have a 9-year-old boy. We play a lot of Fortnite. I learn a lot of words that I really wish I didn't know. But honestly, yeet is one of those fun ones, man. What do you say we yeet into the news?
Let's do it.
In my top story, beta passkey support in Chrome and Android, as reported by Ron Amadeo on ArsTechnica.com. Computer passwords might soon become a thing of the past because passkey is the new password replacement standard. Passkeys are securely backed up and synced to the cloud to prevent lockouts even if the device they were generated on is lost. And Google is introducing the passkey beta to its Chrome web browser and the Android operating system, suck it iOS, to simplify sign-ins across apps, websites, and devices. The good thing about the passkey is we no longer need to tell a password manager to generate, store, and recall a secret, because this will happen automatically and the secrets will be more secure with passkey. The downside is that unlike the old text box supported by all browsers, passkey support will need to be added to every web browser, password manager, and website. Go team Android. I mean, Tony, you're the king of passwordless. I mean, passkey sounds like a pretty cool thing, right?
There's so much to unpack here, Ray, and what a great topic for everyone to be listening to, because one of the lowest common denominators of every single thing that you do in the IT world is authentication. And with authentication and such a huge target, you're going to have a huge opportunity for people to exploit it. The biggest thing that everyone has to understand is that passwords are important. They can get bypassed very easily. Multi-factor, two-factor, whatever you want to call it, factor authentication enables additional protection for the password. Guess what? There's a ton of public documentation around that. The third, so let's recap this. Passwords are critical. Multi-factor authentication, critical. password rotation policy is absolutely critical. This does not address a password rotation policy. What it does is allow a convenience factor for a centralization of password storage and almost a weird, not necessarily cross-pollination, but it's a very siloed way of saying we're going to keep all your password in a centralized location outside of a password manager so you can do it once and it affects everything for the same service. It does not impact the password rotation component, which means in a very, very clear way, since everyone listening to this, and I mean every single person listening to this, is using the same password for long periods of time in multiple locations, it does not address that, hence the password rotation policy. So the passkey does help in a lot of ways address a convenience factor, but it does not address what I consider to be the most important critical factor, which is the password rotation. So I can go on and on and on about this. I'm religious about it. And make no mistake, my hypocrisy is boundless. I do just like everyone else. I am also listening to this podcast that right now as we speak, and I go through regularly to whittle away at all the passwords that are used for long periods of time in multiple locations because I don't want to be that person. But we're all that person right now. So Ray, tell me your thoughts on this one. Do you feel more comfortable with this? Is it the same old, give it to me.
I mean, I love push. I love conditional access. I love passwordless. I just don't know how much, like you said, you can't rotate it. So how am I going to make it passkey one, passkey two, passkey three? Like, you know, don't take away the things I've gotten really good at, please. Now, I mean, security is a moving target. It's always going to be a moving target. Anyway, you know, the old, what is it, Thomas Jefferson, you can have security or convenience, you can't have both. You know, and I probably just completely butchered that. But, the point is still true. You want to get as close to easy for the users so that they adopt the security. It's like we said on the last episode, pew, 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 somewhere Phil put up the card. Those users that put up the admin interfaces on their Fortinet firewalls on the internet, they did so because it was easy, right? They could access it from anywhere as opposed to using a dedicated IP or Tailscale or VPN or something of actual useful security. Same thing with passwords. I mean, how many times have you looked at the bottom of a keyboard for a user and found that sticker with the password? I mean, passkey addresses that, right? Push addresses that. Passwordless addresses that. I'm all for the technologies, but then you have the barrier to entry. Like the article says, you're going to have to rewrite everything to use it. And if users are lazy, sometimes developers are even more lazy.
Compatibility. I didn't even talk about that. Like that is, we should have another episode just about passwords and what everyone's doing because we all have our own feelings, but generally we're all on the same page. And I think if we all get each other's perspective, maybe we should weigh in for those using passkeys. Is there anyone out there currently using it? Do you have an automated password rotation policy? Are you going with SSO? Is SAML your route of choice? A lot of questions. We should
let us know. Story. But, but for now, I mean, we have a new bell of the ball. Office is getting a new name. What's going on?
We do. I'm going to go to the next story. Ready? Yeet. Did you see that? Yeet. It just zipped right over. And in Ars Technica on .com, 32 years in, Microsoft has decided, let's just rebrand Microsoft Office. Microsoft Office was first released in 1990, and aside from Windows, it's probably the Microsoft product that the general public has the most experience with. Individual apps like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook will all continue to exist, but starting now, the Office brand name that these apps have been grouped together under will begin to go away and be replaced by Microsoft 365. The change will first come in the online Office apps at office.com, which will make the switch in November. In January 2023, the Office app built into Windows 10 and Windows 11 and the Office mobile apps for iOS and Android will follow suit. When updated, the apps will pick up the Microsoft 365 branding and a new logo. Ray, we did a story last week about the new Microsoft Intune coming out, making massive changes that appear to be chasing the MSP and RMM community. is this in the same tunnel? Are they rebranding? Are they regrouping? Is this all a step in the general direction? Or is this just, we'll just rebrand to see if we can get a little bit more juice out of that squeeze?
So is it wrong that I thought they had already done this? I'm saying because at least the plans, right? I'm pretty sure the plans got changed to Microsoft 365 a long time ago, right? Because I remember having, like, because every time I talk about, like, E3, E5, E1, you know, I always autocorrect myself and say Microsoft 365 instead of Office 365. So great, you know, in this, yay. I mean, it doesn't make me want to yeet. It doesn't, you know, I absolutely get it, right? It went from being Windows products to Microsoft products. It went from being Office products to Microsoft products. Satya Nadella has been doing this for a long time already, you know, bringing everything under. So I completely understand that. I have no problems with this whatsoever. Maybe it's about damn time. The only thing that drives me nuts is when these companies rebrand and make these words, and Microsoft is the king of this. They're absolutely the undisputed champion of this, of changing the names of everything so they're impossible to find docs for, because you have 19 different docs that tell you to do 19 different things and you don't know which one to do. And if you want a little practice in driving yourself nuts, go look at the cards that show up in Microsoft Teams and how you can generate those programmatically. There's 6 different ways. 3 of them are no longer supported, but they're still docs. I mean, it is ridiculous. Tony, is this going to help users understand more? Or is this going to confuse users more? I don't have Office. I have Microsoft. I mean, how many times have you had a user say, my Adobe's not working? Adobe what?
In the words of... oh my gosh, Ted, the soccer Bundy? Coach, the football game. What? No,
I'm sorry. My wife loves those like murder mysteries.
I can't believe that. I'm not remembering the name.
I know what you're talking about. From the Apple TV show.
Yes.
Same guy as Scrubs wrote that too.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
He talked about, basically he says, hey, listen, you know what the happiest animal is on the planet? The goldfish. Why? It's got a memory of 10 seconds. Sometimes
Ted Lasso. There you go.
Ted Lasso. Yes. Sometimes you just got to be a goldfish. That's it. And in this case, whoop, like, hey, hi, you're new. What is this? Office 365. Oh, not Office 365. Microsoft 365. Hi, you're new Microsoft 365. How are you? You just got to be a goldfish. I am wondering how they're going to group this all together. I'm interested in their play. Last week's story about Intune was, in my opinion, market shifting. Like, that is a real move and everyone should be looking at that. Where it actually ends up, I don't know. We've seen this happen before. So I'm really interested in everyone's story, because we've heard, as a Microsoft CSP, we've heard about when Microsoft changed their naming convention, it was catastrophic for us. 50% of our tickets came in. I don't understand that. What am I ordering again? Is it just, do I just replace the name? No, you don't replace the name, because this is now a new product over here, but the new product that replaced that is a new name, but it's just Microsoft 365. And anyway, I Ray, let's go on to the next story, man.
In a story where they will not be changing the name, top story number 3, KnowBe4 to be acquired for $4.6 billion, as reported by the Dark Reading staff on darkreading.com. Vista Equity Partners plans to acquire KnowBe4 for $4.6 billion in cash, and stockholders will get a $24.90 per share cash payout when the transaction is completed in early 2023. KnowBe4, a security awareness training and simulation platform with 52,000 global customer organizations, is the latest security vendor acquired by a private equity firm. In recent months, PE firm Thoma Bravo has acquired 3 IAM companies, SailPoint, Ping Identity, and ForgeRock as the most recent. Vista has invested $1 billion in Securonics, $215 million in Critical Start, and collected on the sales of SecureLink to Privada and Ping Identity. It also acquired Citrix earlier this year. So, Tony, you know, okay, Thoma Bravo, we talked about in the last episode, pew, pew, pew. You know, now we have Vista Equity. They're investing heavy in security, really, really, really heavy in security, and I am. The tea leaves, what are you reading here?
You know, that quote Napoleon said, was it history is a fable that is agreed upon. And what's happening is the PE firms out there are creating that fable. They're creating the story and they're influencing markets. And I don't know what is ahead. That's the problem. Traditionally that other, ironically, a new saying is another saying is, I know of no way of foretelling the future, but by the past, I don't think we've seen anything like this. Other than those and the elders that remember the consolidation or the deconsolidation of Ma Bell and what it turned into. And I think we kind of see that happening, but in these weird microclimates. I feel like PE firms are the mechanisms for these consolidations, but I'm not seeing any true value come out of it as of yet. I don't see the PE firm being anything other than the fueling of this consolidation. I don't see them being the value add that's needed to do a market shift that's adding, that's for the betterment of everyone, just for themselves in particular. And I don't know what their exit strategy is. That's the, even the bigger question I have. So maybe I'm overthinking this, but I don't know what's going to happen. And I wish I could. There are a lot of positives being internally of these acquisitions and consolidations. And there's also a lot of positives in the massive gaps and opportunities that they leave open for other small organizations and emerging technologies. But the negatives, of course, could be catastrophic if this ends up in a way that becomes full circle back to the last week's episode where you're trying to decide, is it a massive dystopian? Oh.
No, that's where Phil puts up the cards.
Oh, that was good. That was good. In reference to last week's episode about the massive dystopic scenario of Star Trek versus Star Wars, you know, like what's this going to be? Is this going to be a dystopic society where it's just controlled by a few PE firms? Or is it going to be something that is just amazing? Give me your thoughts on this one.
I mean, so I'm not an investment analyst. I'm not, you know, that's not my bag. I do know Thoma Bravo typically holds companies for, I think it's 3 or 5 or 7 years, something like that. Somebody will correct me in the comments. Vista Equity, I'm not really familiar with their strategy other than buying everything. But these two powerhouses seem to own a lot of the MSP industry. I don't, other than Thoma Bravo, Vista Equity is a little different animal because of the way that they kind of gobble up so many different things that are in the same vein, right? And I'm looking at Kaseya, right? How many products does Kaseya own that are kind of duplicated, triplicated, if I'm making up words? And so it's not like they're saying, let's combine these together and, you know, let's Highlander this thing and come out with the one to rule them all. You know, they just kind of let them all live and let them all thrive. So I don't know the benefit. I don't know if it's hedging your bets, mitigating your risk, seeing which one comes out ahead, or just letting them all play in the industry and make money. It's an interesting view, and I'm curious to see what comes out of it. I don't understand, you know, it's like betting on red and black on the table. Like, I don't know the value of that. And again, I'm not the investment analyst. I'm not smart enough to do that. These people know what they're doing most of the, some of the time, you know, so, and they're putting billions of dollars into this. I just don't get why put competing platforms inside your same portfolio? You know, Tony, do you have any insight on that? Like what, you know, or maybe we're at the time, so maybe we just let the MSPs come back and tell us what they think. Why don't we do that? In the meantime, we got some notable mentions. Can we get into those?
And in our first notable mention in bbc.co.uk, lab-grown brain cells play Pong, the video game. Dr. Brett Kagan of the company Cortical Labs claims to have created the first sentient lab-grown brain in a dish. Other experts describe the work as exciting, But say calling the brain cells sentient is going a little too far. Researchers connected this mini brain, grew from human brain cells, from stem cells, some from mouse embryos, to a video game via electrodes revealing which side the ball was on and how far it was from the paddle. In response, the cells produce electrical activity of their own. They expended less energy as the game continued, but when the ball passed a paddle and the game restarted with the ball at a random point, they expended more recalibrating to a new unpredictable situation. Next up, beer pong. And in my next notable mention from darkreading.com, Microsoft addresses 0 days, but Exchange Server exploit chain remains unpatched. For its October patch Tuesday update, Microsoft addressed a critical security vulnerability in its Azure cloud service, carrying a rare 10 out of 10 rating in the CVSS vulnerability severity scale. The tech giant also patched two important rated zero-day bugs, one of which is being actively exploited in the wild. And further, there may be a third issue in SharePoint that's also being actively exploited. Notably, however, the Microsoft did not fix issues for two unpatched Microsoft Exchange Server zero-day bugs that came to light in late September.
In my first notable mention, Android leaks Wi-Fi traffic, even on VPN, as reported by Elizabeth Montalbano on darkreading.com. A security audit conducted by Mulvad VPN showed that despite enabling VPN and Android devices on public networks, these devices are sending connectivity checks outside the VPN tunnel. According to the company, there are nearly 3 billion Android users worldwide. And this issue could jeopardize a user's anonymity and allow potential attackers to monitor a user's traffic and even pinpoint someone's location. Mulvad VPN researchers have already reported this to Google's Android team and suggested that Google consider disabling connectivity checks into stock Android. In my second notable mention, Windows 10 21H1 support ending in December, as reported by Sergio Gatlan on bleepingcomputer.com. Microsoft has just reminded customers that all editions of Windows 10 version 21H21 will reach the end of servicing in December of 2022. In an update to the Windows Health Dashboard, the company said that systems running Windows 10 21H1 will no longer receive security updates. To avoid exposing their systems to security attacks, the companies advised customers to upgrade to the latest versions of Windows 10 or 11 as soon as possible. Microsoft added that the latest security update for these versions will be on December 13th, 2022.
And in our upcoming community events, on October 18th and 19th, an in-person event, PAX 8 Security Bootcamp in Denver, Colorado. On October 19th and 20th, another in-person event, SMB Tech Fest, Irvine, California. In October 19th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Partner First, RPA for MSPs, automating your manual and time-consuming processes with Roost. And finally, on October 21st at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch Weekly Wrap-Up presented by Ray Orsini and Tony Francisco and the MSP Media Network.
And don't forget to check out last week's newest episode of 38 at 38 with this guy. Oh, actually, this guy, Mr. Tony Francisco and Aaron Bolton talking about throwing pebbles in a stream and seeing what happens.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a Jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it twice. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and geet that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories, listen to your suggestions for stories, and you can vote on which ones we'll cover? The link's right in the show notes. And as my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news at mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave a voicemail 833-MSP-Network. Tony? We lived, we laughed, we dabbed, we yeeted. I mean, I can't come up with a better episode than what we just had. How are you feeling about today?
It was amazing. Normally, I feel like I'm holding my hand over a candle when we talk about security and the bad things that happen. And today was just, it just flowed nicely. Like, it wasn't massive craziness of people, hey, I forgot my password, so we brought down the entire organization and destroyed the industry. Today was just about just general education. And I like that. It was always great being around you, of course.
And I feel the exact same way about you, my friend. And I think the only way I could possibly close out this winner of an episode is by going, shee!
Twee!
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Cool. You saw his note about starting a different recording?
Totally saw that.
You're totally not doing it right now, right?
Totally not doing it right then and there. Totally.
Good morning and welcome to October. Starting it off so right. I'm going to stop saying how good we're doing. All right. Pass keys are securely backed up and synced to the cloud to prevent lockouts if the device was bleh. Okay. Sorry, I'm going to have to back up all the way on that sentence. Two and a blah, 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 words. Tony, you got some notables for us? Oh, shit, that was a main story. My bad.
I'm like,
I just did this last week, too. I did.
I know you did. I know you did, but you caught me off. I'm like, instant sweat. I was like,
All right.
I knew I should not have eaten those brownies in high school. I knew it. Dr. Brett Kagan of the Critical... started that so good and just flubbed that one. Ready? With the ball at a random point, they expended more recalibrate. You know what? I may have to redo this story. I tried to consolidate all these notes. I really hosed that one, you guys. Let me do this one again. I'm so sorry. I'll take it from the top. Redoing my own notes here. Okay, ready? And in our first notable mention from bbc.co.uk, a lab-grown brain cells. That really can't even say a lab-grown brain cells play video game. You know what it is? I think they wrote this in the UK and I don't understand their accent in typing. That was really funny. Here we go.
These are sending. Okay.